Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode number 6 of the Self-Help Podcast with myself, Edward Lamb, and we've got Sean Orford here. Hi Sean.
Hi everybody.
How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good.
Had a good week?
Yeah. The best.
The best yet? Yeah. Just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
And yeah, I've had good weeks.
Thanks again for joining us, everyone. Really enjoying this, and good to see people listening in. For more information about the work we do, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk. To listen to past episodes and to leave us a review if you'd like to, take a look at iTunes. Again, there's links to that via our website. This week, we're going to, as per usual, spend a bit of time talking about what we've been up to, what's caught our eye in the news. This week's weekly topic is about work-life balance, how to achieve a work-life balance, and whether or not it's actually what you should be aiming for.
Yeah.
A bit of a twist in the tail here.
Yeah.
Interesting one. Right, so let's get the ball rolling. Sean, what have you been up to this week?
It's been a good week this week. Robert came back from Sweden, where he's been doing a placement for teaching practice.
Robert, your son?
Yes, of course.
Everyone knows that.
Hi, Robert. Good to have him back. That's great. Main thing, with him came the sunshine. And we've had some really lovely weather, and it's been so amazing to be outside and to see people outside. And it's the serotonin effect, seeing people smiling with the sun, and that's great. Seeing people out walking, talking, smiling.
Lots of red faces.
I've got one. It's really good when you're walking, and people just say hi because they're feeling good.
Yeah.
And if the weather's bad, they're looking down. They kind of miss you, I guess. The other thing that's happened for me this week is that I've had a surge of people using FaceTime. So I'm now doing psychotherapy with people all over the world, as far away as New Zealand, right the way around Russia and Europe. But the idea that technology is catching up and that you can be anywhere with anybody anytime, just with the touch of a button, I'm just amazed with the technology. It's fabulous. Love it.
I've got my sister who's in Inverness. My brother works in Madrid,
so we
use FaceTime fairly. Not as often as we should, to be honest. But it's, you know...
I wonder how long it's going to be before audio phones kind of slip into the distance and we're using video phones as regular.
I mean, we're doing this audio podcast, aren't we? Audio only. We've talked about maybe doing a video on it I think there's still a future for audio.
Just audio
only. It's quick and easy. But yeah, FaceTime, brilliant, isn't it?
So, what have you been up to?
I've been enjoying the sun as well. I mean, I've been working from home, but I've been lunching in the garden, and I've actually had a few clients come round and meetings where we've just sat in the garden and discussed projects and moving things forward, which is lovely. And just lots of family time. The barbecue's been used at least 3 times, which is brilliant. All good. Yeah, I've been listening to the new Daft Punk album on repeat pretty much all week, which is a good summer record as well.
Right.
Kind of disco vibes to it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good one for the summer. So it's been a good week. And I've actually found, again, with serotonin levels, maybe the clients and new clients have kind of come out of the woodwork, and I've had a lot of work come in this week. So I think people have found energy to get projects going.
Yeah, and it's moving. Very real. People kind of get the spark. They get up, they got the woo, get going.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
News, Sean?
News for me is about Richard Hawkins, who I couldn't believe. He's actually 71 years old. And this guy, what an amazing mind, trapped in such a sadly dysfunctional body, and yet such an amazingly positive guy. He was delivering this lecture at Caltech, that's the California Institute of Technology. And he said, it's been a glorious time to be alive and doing research in theoretical physics. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy's had a really glorious time. He's had a glorious life. And I think of all the people that moan about their existence.
Yeah.
And this guy, what a mind. And the thing that really impressed me, in the LA Times, they report this guy, 26-year-old Jordan Hassey. And he had to work overtime, and then he drove all the way from Hollywood to Pasadena and then waited 12 hours in line just to hear Hawkins speaking. And he said, and it was really fascinating, he said, you know, I read his works, but it was just so very special to hear him speak. And I think, wow, and that kind of dedication that this guy, Jordan Hassey, has to get there and see this guy that had the amazing dedication to do all the work he's done in science.
Yeah.
And it's just a fabulous example of people living in the now, living their present, and really enjoying being alive. I love it. Stories like that. Wonderful.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Yeah, Stephen Hawking, some fella. And yeah, it's interesting to say he's 71. It's kind of, he's kind of a guy you don't really think of having any age in particular.
But no, no.
He'll, yeah, amazing fella.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention an article, or rather a YouTube video, that's kind of exploded this week, and it's been causing a lot of controversy over here in the UK. It might have stretched across further afield. A lady called Katie Hopkins did an interview. I think she's actually does a regular feature on the show. It's a show called This Morning, which is a regular daily show, that topical stuff in the morning in the UK on telly. And she was talking about how she kind of judges her child's friends based on their names. And she even went as far to say things like she wouldn't let her kids hang out with people who had a certain name. Which, well, I mean, the cynic in me thinks she said it just for the fact that she knew she'd get a load of hits on YouTube, because I think it's up to about 10 million hits or something ridiculous.
I think that the thing about her is that if wherever you're listening to this, you have the British image of the aristocratic snob.
Yeah.
And she she typifies that bit of Britishness. And she does represent a very kind of snobby upper class point of view. The bit that's scary for me is that if you look at the Freakonomics work, and we'll put the link up to it, in the Freakonomics work, they're looking at the research. They've got a guy, Fryer, who's a professor at Harvard, and he's presenting his research on first names. And it turns out that she's right, that when you have a certain kinds of names, it makes you socially disadvantaged. So if you're called Bonnie, Donnie, Lonnie, or Marlene and Charlene, those kinds of names, the Kylers, it does put you at a social and a financial disadvantage, which is sad but true.
Well, that's the thing. There's been a lot of controversy and everyone in uproar about what she said. But she's probably got a point. I mean, maybe not. She's not helping the situation by perpetuating these the stereotype that a name can bring. But it does have an impact on how you think of a person, doesn't it?
I think that the thing that she brings over is the idea that she was excluding certain kinds of friends from her children.
Yeah.
And that's the really negative, bigoted, biased, and that's what I mean about it, it's that British snobbery bit.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not helping anyone.
Yeah. Excepting the fact that, okay, some names don't work. When I was at school, there was this poor guy whose surname was Prout, and his parents quite cruelly called him Russell. So he was Russell Prout, as in Brussels Sprout. And then forever, everybody was taking the mickey out of the poor guy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. Yeah. I mentioned the others. A footballer in the UK, or England, ex-England player called Gary Neville. And his dad is called Neville Neville.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you've got to draw the line somewhere. What have you named your kids down the years, and how much effort or thought did you put into it?
The kids name themselves. I think that in each case, when you look at a child, if you tune into the child, you know what the child's name is. I didn't name any of the children, they named themselves. It was obvious who they were.
Yeah.
Which may sound strange, but that was the way it was.
Mm.
And whatever names I thought of or we thought of, when you've got the child in your arms, you know what the name is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised. I mean, I got a bit of stick at school. My name's Edward, which is quite a posh name. And my brother and sister, I'm sure they won't mind me saying, are Oliver and Harriet. So quite kind of regal.
Yeah, they do. They sound posh names.
So I need to speak to my parents about why they went down that route. And my son's called William, which is, again, quite...
Very royal.
Again, yeah. Although I call him Will, Wilson. We don't call him Billy.
Like, or Willie.
Some people call him Billy. And like, he's not Billy, he's William.
Well, now Ree goes bonkers with Robert, you see, because Robert, who she always wants to call Robert, gets called Bert, Bertie, Robbie, Bob.
Bob, Bobby.
Drives her bonkers.
Yeah.
Here's a Robert.
What's in a name? Hey, we'll put it on the list for perhaps a future episode to talk about.
Yeah, good.
About names. Very interesting stuff. So thank you, Katie Hopkins, for bringing this to attention. And I'm sure she's just basking in the glow of all that YouTube attention.
Yeah, reverse psychology, negative publicity.
She'll probably have her own show within a few weeks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe her own podcast.
She'll invite us on.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to our topic of the week, which is work-life balance. Now, we wrote a blog, or Sean, you wrote a blog, which I asked you to write because I thought this would be an interesting
you
topic.
You did.
Which has turned out to be actually one of the most read topics on our website, blog posts. It really kind of sparked people's interest, and it got shared quite a lot. So, Sean, just do you want to get started about where you...
I think you need to start with this, with this story you were telling me about visiting that office, because that sums it up to me.
The shattered accountant I've got written here, haven't I?
Yeah,
I won't mention any names. I was out and about on Friday. I look after my son on a Friday. This is part of my work-life balance. And at the end of the day, I won't mention any names, but I visited an office and I was hanging around in the lobby waiting for someone to finish. And people were going, finishing their day. And a couple of the guys that left were the directors at this business, and they barely had the energy to say goodbye to me. Like, they just looked absolutely battered after a tough week in work running a successful business which is taking off. I was struck by the fact that they're probably going to take all weekend just to recover in time for Monday when it all starts over again. Now, maybe they're in their element at work, you know, maybe that's what they love it. You know, I should probably dig deeper. I'm not, you know, I don't want to judge too harshly, but I also assume that they've got families and stuff that they want to spend time with over the weekend, and they're probably not going to have as much energy as they need to do that.
And for me, that ties in with my classic story about Monday morning. People wake up and the last thing they want to do is get out of bed and go to work. And there's this difference between work world and home world, or work and play. And in all the work I do with people, the issue about self-fulfillment is about doing with your life what you want to do. And the idea that I split it into segments.
Mm.
Perhaps I have work life, I have my life at home with my family, and then maybe I have to do other things, like I have my gym life and stuff like that. It starts to become segmented rather than being a whole. So from my point of view, work-life balance is a nonsense. And I say this from the point of view, not from being a clever dick and thinking I don't have the work-life balance problem. For me, it was an active decision, and the decision came about at the beginning of the 80s, and the decision was, what do I want to do with life?
Mm.
And did I want to go to work and have this work-play balance thing, or would I just live my life? My decision to be working with and helping other people to find their fulfillment, for me, is a 24-hour-a-day, 7 days-a-week thing. It doesn't come in segments.
You started at the beginning of the blog post talking about when you came back to the reality in the 80s after your travels and learning things. And so what did you... When you came back to Britain, and what were your kind of... How did you view things and how did you view the situation?
I came back to a situation that was very miserable. At that time in the social economic cycle, there were lots of strikes going on and 3-day weeks and power cuts and all kinds of things happening, and people being very, very miserable.
Sounds kind of vaguely familiar as to how things are in a little bit of turmoil right now.
I think it's a very much a reflection. But the thing for any of us is that all of us have to survive. We've got to live. We have to create the resources to feed ourselves and the people around us. The thing, it comes down to how do we do that? How do we do that? And I see so many people who are so miserable in their working situation, but they feel stuck in it. And the saddest thing for me is when I do that horrible thing that we call end interviews in psychology, where you've got people that are coming up to retirement. And the amount of people that come out to retirement in very depressed states, and they're actually saying to me, they're 60, 65, and they're saying to me, what on earth was that all about? What have I been doing with my life? What's happened? It's all gone.
Yeah.
And they've had this 5 days working during the week and this kind of rushed weekend with a dodgy Sunday because they're winding up for Monday, and having a miserable time. And the only time they ever had for them was going on holiday, maybe 2 weeks in the summer.
Well, there's an article on The Guardian, which is always in their top 10 most read, or called, it's a pretty blunt title, but it's Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, where nurses have interviewed people that are, you know, close to the end. And the main one is, spent too much time at work or working. But that would suggest people have been in the wrong line of work. No, it's easy perhaps for us to say, because we're both self-employed, you know, business guys who we do what we want. We can pick and choose a little bit, can't we?
Yeah.
But the opportunity is there for everyone now, right?
Yeah. And that is an active decision. There was a point in your life when you thought, no, okay, I'm going to do this. You could have done anything, couldn't you? With this wonderful thing called life.
Well, we'll talk about our stories then. How did you get to where?
For me?
Yeah, what was the point of the moment for you?
It's quite simple, really. Lousy childhood, leaving home very early, age of 15, going on a journey, which was quite a difficult journey, to discover who I was, and then getting to the point by the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, of thinking, okay, if I've got this gift of life and I've sorted out my main mess so that I could actually contribute something useful to life, what would I be doing? And the only things that made sense to me at that time were working with other people and playing music, and that's what I've done ever since. I write books and do things like this, but my life is about working with other people and about playing music. They make me feel good. So I suppose I'm ultimately selfish in the sense that I do what makes me feel good. The fact that it makes other people feel good is a bonus, but the essential thing is I do what I do because it's my fulfilment.
Yeah.
Is that true for you?
It is, yeah. I'm still early on in my process of kind of finding my, I'm going to call it my elements, and I'll just explain why later on when we talk about our resources of the week.
Yeah.
The main trigger for me was after university when I got my first full-time job. I'd been there maybe 6 months, and I had the opportunity to go to Africa with my now wife and her family and do a bit of charity work there. And I was denied that opportunity basically because I didn't have enough holiday time left at work, or that they couldn't afford to be without me for that amount of time. It was only for 2 weeks. So I didn't go. My wife still went. She had a great time. But that was the moment I thought, I've got to find a way out of this. Otherwise, I'm going to be trapped for, you know, a good while, 40, 50 years, if I'm not careful.
So,
within a year, and I'd hatched a plan, and I was out self-employed, and here I am. It's actually 5 years, yeah, I think I mentioned it last week, that I've been 5 years out on my own.
Yeah.
Now, which is, it's a roller coaster, but it's good fun.
It's fun, yeah, and that's the point, isn't it? It's like, when I wake up in the morning, I get out of bed because there's things I want to go and do. I work with lots and lots of people who wake up in the morning, they don't want to get out of bed because they don't want to do what it is that is laid out for them in the day.
Yeah.
And that's not a way to live for me. And from that point of view, the idea of work-life balance, which is a big deal in all organisations, National Health Service, not least of all, got policies on work-life balance.
Blimey.
As opposed to people living. And I think that is a very relevant issue, is that things like the National Health Service in Britain were run by vocational people, nurses, doctors, even the porters, people that came and did everything, did it because they believed in the process. It was something that was them living their lives. And one of the things that happens in the kind of current economic situation that we're in is that the health service becomes a business and it ceases to be vocational. So whereas people would be working extras, working late, coming in early, taking stuff home, doing all kinds of things, now people work time. You know, I'm employed 8 till 5. At 5, I get up and I go, regardless of what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And that's a huge change. And that, to me, is a sad change because we lose the caring element, not only in the NHS, but in society generally.
This separation of different times in people's day, whether it be for sleeping, eating, working, is drilled into us early on, isn't it? It's basically at school.
Yeah.
You wake up when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You go to school to learn.
Yeah.
Then what do? You go home. You don't stop learning. But for me, I look at kind of the education system and see that that's, you know, something needs fixing there.
Yeah.
It's drilled into us early on that that's where the work-life balance or the separation starts, isn't it, really?
If you think about your work world, when you go to the gym and you're on the rolling road and you're doing your running, whatever you're doing, I bet you there are ideas about your creative process in your business that come into your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they may not, but I bet you that there's lots of times when you're at work 24/7. You might wake up in the middle of the night and you've got an idea to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
And to me, that's when you're starting to live as opposed to work and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting that in that idea of living that you exclude anything, that family, kids, friends, they're all in there. They're all in the bundle. But I can be working one moment and then I'm having what I'd see as a social situation and someone says something and it triggers a whole load of stuff in me. And that becomes a book, it becomes an article, it becomes an idea.
Well, we published a blog recently about procrastination.
Yeah.
How that's a good indicator. If you see yourself wasting time a lot, it's an indicator that perhaps you're not focusing on the right things in the first place.
Yeah.
But you can also use it for a positive, because in that time when you're supposedly wasting time, ideas will come to you, won't they?
Yeah.
I had a recent idea for a web project I'm going to get started that came into my head for no real reason, just when I was going for a walk. I was walking between here, my parents' house, a mile up the road on my own, and it just kind of a light bulb came on.
Yeah.
So if people are struggling with a work-life balance, they should perhaps tune into those moments when they're just being themselves, relaxing, and see what comes to them and use those triggers to...
But that switches into something else that we've talked about, which is about where's your zone. And like for me, the zone is doing some meditation, because it's in the silence of the meditation that I hear the answers to the things I need to know. For other people, it might be when they're running, when they're walking, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's finding your zone that enables you to hear your inner voice.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you remember when we started running the courses all those years ago? And the main question was, what do you want? What do you really, 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 really want from life? Because if you know that, then the other things start to slip into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when we're so busy doing what other people want us to do, we become a wage slave, we go to work, and we can only work the hours that are available for the rate that they're prepared to pay us at. So we're limited in what we do straight away. But our time and our mind and our emotions is taken up by this other person's process. It's not ours.
Yeah.
We're in someone else's dream, someone else's flow. We're not on our own.
There will be people listening now, I'm sure, who are in a situation where they're frustrated or they feel boxed in or kind of trapped. And they might be listening to us thinking, oh, hey, oh, it's easy.
It's okay for you.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's a great time to be alive, isn't it, in terms of if you can find your element, then there are resources out there that we'll talk about that can help you.
Yeah. I think one of the things that you and I would talk about is the idea of multiple streaming of income. And just because you're in a wage slave situation doesn't mean to say that you can't create other streams of income, whether you're doing that using the internet or doing something outside. And that's when you start to create and get hold of the idea of freedom, is you're starting to use your energy to create the resources that you need.
Yeah.
Outside of the restrictions of being involved in someone else's dream.
Mm.
You're starting to live your own dream. And it may be, it's a transition. And there are very few people that can click their fingers and go into a new way of being. Most people have to go through some transformative process, which usually takes a couple of years, when I see people doing that, making the change into what they want to do and want to be. At least 2 years, maybe 2-3 years before they get there.
It takes effort, doesn't it? But
it's
easy to spot whether it's worth the effort, because if you're enjoying it and you're waking up wanting to do it, then you know you're on the right path.
But that principle has to be, if it feels good, do more. If it doesn't feel good, stop doing it.
Yeah,
change it. Become self-harm and you're doing things you don't want to do.
Yeah. Well, kind of, the resources that we're going to talk about are very intertwined with what this topic. So do you want to talk about your resource of the week then, Sean?
And well, my resource of the week is a man, really. It's a guy called Tim Ferriss. And he's worth... We'll put details up on the show notes for this. But he's worth getting into his head. And one of the books that really catches my imagination is the idea of a 4-hour work week. What do you think of 4-hour working?
Well, I like it's a lovely title, isn't it? I love Tim Ferriss, full disclosure here. I'm a big fan of his. The title actually came about through a lot of user testing and keyword testing, so that, you know, to rank the book on Google and what have you. But I think the misconception with the title of the book is that that it's about basically having these sources of income and then doing nothing with your life. Whereas Tim Ferriss says it early on in the book, it's not about that. It's about setting up systems so that you can have an income and then focus on the things and the bits of work that you want to do, voluntary or whatever, and spend your life working on those.
Yeah.
But it's a really good book.
But the other books that he does, like we've got The 4-Hour Body and The 4-Hour Chef. I mean, the concepts is there. And people that can embrace those kinds of concepts can begin to create this world that has this living element rather than the work-life sectional balance, you know.
Work, play.
Cool.
And I'm going to talk about a book called The Element by a clever chap called Sir Ken Robinson.
Don't know him. Tell me about it.
You will have seen him, I'm sure. He's actually from Liverpool, but he advises on education and creativity.
Right.
So he's a British fellow. He actually works in America. I think he's based in Los Angeles.
Right.
But he's got some really, really cool concepts about the path that education should take. The book, The Element, is fantastic. It's about finding your element and finding the zone.
Yeah, right.
So that you know which direction's taken.
I need to read this.
You do?
Yeah.
He's done the top rated TED Talk online.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
It's had millions and millions of views, his TED Talk from a few. He was invited back to do another one. So I'll put those both up on the website.
Yeah.
But The Element is a real good read.
Yeah.
And he's all over the web. So there's lots of interviews with him and audio, video stuff.
So I'll have to do some research. Yeah.
Dive in because he's a really good fella.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, that was good fun.
Yeah, good.
Another good topic. I'll go away and edit this because I found in the editing of this show, I edit it myself. I say an awful lot more than you do. So I'm sure our listeners won't hear too many because I edit them all out, or most of them.
So do you see as is there a purpose for it?
I think it's just to fill in gaps. Maybe my brain's ticking over somewhere there.
I think becomes a part of speech where we're thinking about what we're going to say next. And perhaps a silence is as relevant as an erm.
Yeah. I'll leave these erms in.
Yeah.
I'll take a few out from earlier on.
Yeah. We live on the Wirral, which is opposite Liverpool on the other side of the river. And people do use this thing, but it sounds like eem.
Eem.
Yeah.
You've seen Stephen Gerrard get interviewed, I'm sure there's football eem, soccer fans there.
Yeah.
Eem.
Yeah. Common part of speech.
Thanks, Sean. Good fun.
Okay.
There you go. There's an erm. Visit our website for more information and for show notes of lots of different links that we've talked about today. You can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, all those usual channels, and please do, if you can, head over to iTunes and leave a review for us. That would be superb. Next week, we're going to be talking about the male revolution and man's role in the 21st century. Yeah. Sean, I know you've got
loads and loads. I'd like to say the role has changed. I think that the need of the role has changed, but I think that men are way, way behind in catching up with where women are.
Got some catching up to do.
I think so, yeah.
But there's some fun to be had as well.
Sure.
You know, we can adapt ourselves a little bit. A bit more comfortable with who we are.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. We'll wrap up. Sean, thanks very much.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Ed.
Good chatting to
everybody.
We'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening. And, you have a good week.
And you.
See ya.
Bye.